We usually try to speak about something that comes up a particular day, a special Yom Tov that comes up in the month when we get together on Rosh Chodesh to share some thoughts. This being a leap year, having an extra month, so this Adar really doesn't have any particular special day. There's Purim Katan, but there's no rituals that we do on that day or how we observe. And therefore, this Rosh Chodesh, really, we can speak about anything. It's an extra time, it's an extra month to speak about an off-topic idea, but something certainly that ties into Rosh Chodesh itself. So we'll try to develop a particular theme, hopefully to go away with something that we can use practically in our Avodas Hashem and our service. And starting with the Rosh Chodesh. Just to start with an introduction, something light. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, in his Sefer Das Tevunos, weaves a theme basically throughout the whole Sefer, and to try to give the essence of that idea succinctly, what it boils down to is as follows. Ramchal tells us the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with people and deals with the world at large with two different systems. This is the concept that he lays down for us. Two different systems. One which is called the Hanhogas Schar V'Einish, the system of reward and punishment. The other which is called the Hanhogas HaYichud, a little bit more difficult to translate. It's the system of the oneness, the uniqueness of Hashem. The purpose of the world that ultimately should lead up to the goal that there should be a revelation of this oneness, this uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These two systems, the Anhaga of Schar V'Einish, the system of reward and punishment, much easier understood. And that's an idea that Ramban tells us in the end of Parshas Bayit, an idea that we learn from Yetzias Mitzrayim, from the miracles that occurred in Mitzrayim, Schar V'Einish, reward and punishment. And as the Ramban says, those who do mitzvahs, those who do what Hashem wants them to do, those who do Hashem's will receive reward. Reward in this world, reward in the next world. And those who do Averis, those who transgress the will of the One Above, will Yachri Seno Oinsha, will be punished. He will be dealt with punishment, whether in this world or the next world. That's the concept of the behavior that Hashem deals with and behaves with people and the world, Hanhag of Schar V'Einish, the system of reward and punishment. Then there's a second system, the system of Hanhagas HaYichud, or also termed in the words of the Ramchal, the Tikkun HaKloli, the ultimate Tikkun in the world. Hanhogas HaMazel, the world being run based on Mazel, not being based on Schar V'Einish. And here the idea being that Hashem has a certain goal in mind. He has a certain purpose of why He created the world, and He wants it to lead up to a certain point where then there will be a revelation of how he was the only one in control, was, is, and always will be in control. And there the world goes with the steps leading up to that point where ultimately everyone will recognize, not only Bnei Yisrael, but the world, everyone in the world will recognize Hashem's oneness, Hashem's omnipotence in the world. How He always was in control, how He is in control, and He will always be in control. And that system has been taking place since the beginning of creation and is weaving its way also through time, through history, to get to that point.
Why did you call that Mazel? Why isn't that referred to as Mazel? I would think that was just sort of the order of history.
Mazel is meaning, as opposed to the person receiving something based on reward for what he did, or based on a punishment for what he did or didn't do. It's just within the mazel of the world, within the system that Hashem has, and it has to go this way, and therefore somehow has to bump off or alter the system of Schar Vayinish. It would seem that this system is almost a contradiction to the system of reward and punishment. Reward and punishment, those who are righteous should live a blissful life, everything should be well for them, and those who are wicked should suffer. And we don't see that way, we see contrary to that. And that's because, the Ramchal explains, is because this is this other system weaving in and out of the world and people's lives. And that is the system of Hanhogas HaYichud, which Hashem says, I have to get the world to an ultimate purpose, to its ultimate purpose, and thereby things would have to happen what would seem like randomly. However, Ramchal says this cannot, of course not, it cannot contradict the Hanhaga, the system of Schar V'Einish. And how does it reconcile with Schar V'Einish? Very simply, the Ramchal tells us that even in a time where the righteous would have to suffer, give that as an example, where the righteous have to suffer, even though this does not really go, is not in sync with the Hanhaga of Schar V'Einish, it doesn't go with reward and punishment, but it goes for Hashem's master plan, the overall plan Hashem has to make for this, if the particular example, this person, this righteous person suffer, it does go with the system of Schar V'Einish in that when the righteous person is mekabel be'emunu ba'ava, when he accepts with complete faith, and when he accepts with love what Hashem has dealt to him, and has realized and has gone through all of his actions and seen this cannot be because I've done something wrong, it must be it's because of this other system, and when he accepts that, and he says this is what Hashem needs to do for the ultimate purpose of the world, that indeed gets him the great reward. So it can work together with the system of Schar V'Einish, with reward and punishment, the system of Hanhagas HaYichud, to get to the ultimate purpose of the world, for everyone to recognize Hashem's oneness. The truth is, the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin, tells us this, what we call it Schar V'Einish, reward and punishment. There's really no such thing as punishment. Hashem doesn't punish a person just for the sake of punishment, but it's really just to alter his way, or to awaken him to perhaps change his course of action that he is taking in order to set him on the right path. And really that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, about how a person can set their own direction of how their life will take shape and the course that they can expect of what will happen to them. If I would have to give a mushal, an analogy of these two systems working in tandem. Well, one of my children received a game for the computer, a CD for the computer called Roller Coaster Tycoon. And what this game is, they could spend hours and hours on this game. And what you can do is you can build your own roller coaster. You set the computer to build whatever roller coaster you want. As a matter of fact, you can build a whole amusement park. And that's the game. And then you can see it being taking shape, and you can actually ride in the roller coaster, and you can feel like you're riding down the roller coaster, and you can go backward and forward, upside down, however exciting you want to make it, you can make it. But imagine, let's say the child makes a particular roller coaster, this particular ride, and the ride will go for an hour. It's an hour long ride. And you have control of the steering wheel, and you can maneuver it and go to the right and go to the left and go fork to the right or fork to the left and go up or go down. And you can also adjust the speed. But also you programmed, before you started this ride that takes an hour, you programmed that you want to end up at a particular place within this ride, within the amusement park. You have to, and you put in a destination. So therefore, the computer already knows that there's a particular destination programmed in. And therefore, true, the person is in the driver's seat and can turn left and turn right and go up and down, but at times the computer has to take over because the computer sees, there's a beeping on the computer and saying the person has gone this way. If they want at the end of the ride end up where they programmed, where the destination should be, I have to make sure to put the brakes on now against the will of the driver, or I have to turn the car, go to the right instead of to the left where that person wants to go, and the person has to know, at this point the computer is taking over and controlling the ride even more so than ayah. And why? That's because there has to be a particular destination where the right has to end up. And that's the two systems. The system of schar v'onish means I'm in full control. And what I do, I could expect to get reward for it even in this world. And what I do wrong, I could expect that Hashem will have to adjust my course of action. But there are times when kaviyachol, the computer will take over. Hashem will take over and says, sorry, but I can't give you full control of the right over here. I can't give you full control of creating your own destiny. Because for the overall master plan that I have to take it over. It's as if the computer takes over the controls. So to try to control the system of Hanhagas HaYichud, Hashem's overall master plan, it's impossible. It's not for us to know, we don't know. We don't know where Hashem is up to in His plan, and how far He has to move, and how many righteous have to suffer, and how many wicked has to prosper. It's impossible for us. What we do have full control of is the first system. The system of reward and punishment. And that we can expect to happen. It may alter at times, and that we're not in control of. And what we are in control of is just how we react to it, as we explained before. How we are in control of that is then when Hashem, we see, is using the other system, that there's no reason why this should have happened to this person who seems to be a righteous person, or the punishment that he's getting seems to be not commensurate to the action that he did, and he went through all the action that he has done, and he sees this cannot be based on the Hanhaga Schar V'Einish, the system of reward and punishment. Then he has to attribute it to the other system and says, I accept Hashem dealing with me in this instance, or for this period of time in this system. If this is how He wants me to deal with it, if He wants to use me as an example, or use me to get to the ultimate purpose of what He wants to do, I accept that with full faith and with full love. And with that is the reward that a person gets with that. But the destiny of the course that we are taking, and what we could expect to get in the terms of schar v'onish, reward and punishment, that is completely in our control. But it's in our control to a great extent. To what extent? Chazal tells us the following. It's a well-known Chazal. The Gemara in Makkos tells us that we see it not only from one place, but it's brought in three different places, three different examples, the Gemara tells us, in the Chof Dalet Svarim, in the written law, in Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. All those places have each in one, both in Torah, and Torah has a place, and in the prophets and in the writings, each have an example of the following. Min ha-Torah, min ha-Nevi'im, min ha-Ksuvim, we find, b'derech she'adam reitzeh leilech ba-meilichin oisai. There are examples that you can find in the Torah and the prophets and the writings that the way that a person wants to go, that is the way that he is taken. B'derech she'adam reitzeh leilech ba-meilichin oisai. Now this goes whether a person wants to go on a good path or a person wants to go the opposite way. But it goes to such an extent that we could explain it. Rav Dessel brings a chazal. He brings a medrash. And the medrash is about a person who had an addiction to drinking. And he would just, every day and every night, would get drunk. And he started using all his money just to buy alcohol. And he started selling things to get more money to buy what he needed for his addiction. And his children saying, you know, this is crazy. By the time he goes, he's left nothing for us. So they decided they must stop this crazy addiction. They must put an end to it. And they got together and devised a plan. And they said, this is what we're going to do. One time when he's drunk and he's going to be in a good, sound sleep, we're going to really shake him up. What did they do? They took their father and they brought him to the cemetery. And they dug 6 feet down, and they placed their father in the grave. And they figured, you know, when he wakes up, he'll be so spooked out. And he says, wow, this is, you know, where am I? This from the drinking, he's just going to stop. Okay, that's what they figured. Yeah, it was a little bit extreme to do, but they figured they had no other suggestion to do, so that's what they did. What happened to happen? A caravan, the Medrash tells us, of wine merchants came to the town, and as they're passing the cemetery, they hear a ruckus, a big tumult in the town. They said, who knows what's happening? Maybe there are protesters over there, maybe there are thieves in the street. We're not going over there. We don't want our merchandise to be stolen. Where are we going to put our wine? So one of them says, oh, I have a good idea. Let's put it in the cemetery. Who's in the cemetery? Let's put it over there. So that's what they did. They unloaded the barrels of wine to the, and they see, look at this. There's a ditch over here. We'll just store the barrels of wine over here. And when we hear that the protesters went away, we'll come back and get it. The man wakes up from his slumber, and that's a familiar smell, and looks around. It's dark over here, but he sees a little spigot. Takes his finger, puts it in his house, and lo and behold, he says, I am in heaven after all. And he drinks to his heart's content. The Medrash says 3 days later, the children come to see how their father is faring. Is he spooked out of his wits and ready? He's ready to say, okay, that was my last drink. And they see him singing away. They hear him, what's going on? And they see what happened. Rav Tessa says, what is the Medrash here telling us? The Medrash saying, the Bederech Sha'adam Reitza Leilech B'malichneisei. The path that a person wants to take, Hashem will turn over heaven and earth. Hashem will make great miracles to make sure if the person wants to go down that path, Hashem says, I will provide it for you. You want to be a drunkard? I will make sure you get your drink. If it works this way, when a person wants to become drunk and wants to do Averis, certainly, we know, Midateva Merubah, certainly we know that if a person wants to go on a good path and he wants to be drunk with mitzvahs, Hashem will provide and Hashem will make miracles to make sure that the person gets exactly what he wants and where he wants to go. This Gemara is a very interesting wording. That means in the path that a person wants to go, that is where they take him. Who's they? Who's the they? They take him. Who's they? They will explain, but let's first preface with the words of the Nefesh HaChaim. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, writes in one of the two svarim that we have remaining from him that did not get destroyed, in the Ruach Chaim, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, Reb Chaim Volozhiner tells us the following. Right at the outset, he says, Hinei Yadua, it is known. I don't know who this is known to. It was certainly known to him. It wasn't known to any of us. Hinei Yadua, it is known. Ki be'es yala al ra'ayone ish la'aseis mitzvah. When a person thinks about doing a mitzvah, he decides he wants to do a particular chesed with somebody. He wants to help out a certain person. He wants to get involved in a certain project. He wants to learn something. He wants to do some mitzvah. He said, at that moment, na'asa reshumay lamayla. At that moment, there is something that takes effect in the heavens. Just by a person thinking, you know what, really, maybe I should help out this person. Maybe I should even be involved. Maybe I should do this mitzvah. At that moment in heaven, there is an impression made above. From that holy spark that is in heaven, he is now surrounded. This person is surrounded. What did he do? He didn't do anything yet. He just thought about doing a mitzvah. He is now surrounded by this holy light. It hovers over him, around the person. The person is in the midst of this holy light that he's unaware of. And this light is la'ezer u'lasa'el l'goymra. This light is what will help him out. It will assist him in the completion of what he set out to do, of what he thought to do. As if the person, since he has this great holy light from above, it's as if it came down from Gan Eden, and in a sense the person himself is transported to Gan Eden and being helped out by this holy light. Now it works the other way too. When a person has in his mind he's going to do something evil, then the evil spirit surrounds him also, and they assist him in doing that as well. It's an amazing thing. We think, well, if I want to do a mitzvah, I'll go do a mitzvah. Chaim Volozhiner says that every time I want to do a mitzvah, every time I decide I want to go in a certain path, this is the derech that I want to go, there's great repercussions happening in heaven. There are lights happening, there's kedusha, there's holy sparks happening, and that comes and surrounds the person and assists him in completing what he set out to do. We certainly do many mitzvahs throughout our day, throughout our week. Why don't we ever feel this holy light surrounding us? I think most mitzvahs that we do are really not premeditated. We do them because we have to do. Today is this day, I do this mitzvah, today is another day, I go to this place. And it's not premeditated. You know, right now, this is what I want to do. I want to make sure, am I going to do it right? Am I going to do it with the right intentions or the right kavanah? When a person does that, that's a premeditated mitzvah. Maybe then he could sense the Ar Kedusha that's makif him, this holy light that surrounds him. Okay? Will he be in tune? Will he see actually a glow around him? Perhaps not. But when he has a premeditated sense and thought of doing a mitzvah, will he then notice he actually has assistance and things work out well? If a person is in tune to it, he will realize it's this. The path that a person wants to go, they take him there. Who's they? The Maharsha explains on that Gemara. Meilichin is the Malachim. They're actually angels. When a person thinks about doing a mitzvah, thinks about doing something right, he creates angels. Perhaps that's what Reb Chaim Volozhin means. It's those holy sparks in heaven. But angels are created, and those angels, in the plural, come and they assist the person in completing the mitzvah that he set out to do, or in helping in the project that he wanted to now fulfill. And the same thing happens, B'derech Shanim writes in Leilach, if he wants to go down an evil path, he wants to do something wrong, he has angels also. He has destructive angels who also will assist in that. B'derech Shanim writes in Leilach, the path the person wants to go, that's the path that they will take him. But you see here, it's extreme hashgacha pratis, extreme divine intervention. Like the story in the Medrash, if a person wants to go that path, Hashem will make unbelievable things happen just to make sure to fulfill what this person wanted to do. Reb Chaim Volozhin continues and says that after the person completes the mitzvah, when he completes the mitzvah, that mitzvah itself goes up, ascends, and goes to Gan Eden. And that indeed is going to be the schar. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The reward for a mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. And however the amount of effort that a person put into the mitzvah, however good the person did that mitzvah, that's how good it will look in Gan Eden. The schar for the mitzvah that ultimately we will receive is the mitzvah itself. When we finish with that mitzvah, we'll go up to heaven after 120, we'll see that mitzvah that we did, it's waiting for us. And it'll be very familiar, you know? And if it's a little bit weak, it's because we didn't put in so much effort. But that's the schar mitzvah, mitzvah. We have another Mishnah in the Pirkei Avos, very famous Mishnah. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah, avera gereres avera. One mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, one avera leads to another avera. If you go with that concept, there's a big question. If mitzvah gereres mitzvah, that means all we're explaining over here, where a person thinks in his mind to do a mitzvah, and this great light comes and surrounds him and assists him, and then he does the mitzvah, that mitzvah goes up on high, and it's now there, and it will help now for the next mitzvah. It will be easier to do a mitzvah, because look at this, look at all these holy angels that I created, they're going to help with performing another mitzvah. Well, then it should never stop. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah should always continue. It should always be on a roll. Get on a roll of mitzvahs. And if a person's on an avera, he's spiraling downward, how could he ever stop? What will stop him? So here we're told, the Sfarim tell us that when there's a time of renewal, when there's a time of renewal in a person's life, when there's a time of renewal in a person's schedule, and there's a time of renewal in the time of the year, that's when a person then can alter his way. There's a break in the action and a person could renew himself. Rosh Chodesh is indeed one of those times. In the parsha of Rosh Chodesh and parsha of Zbay, we read, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. This Rosh Chodesh is Lochem, this is to you. The Baal HaTurim says Lochem, the letters Lochem, Lamed, Chaf, Mem, spell what? Rearrange the letters, what do those letters spell? Lamed Chaf Mem spells Melech. Rosh Chodesh is the time, HaChodesh is a Lochem. This is Lochem, it's for you to be a Melech. You can be in control again. You could be the king of your own destiny. you could decide what path you want to take. Rosh Chodesh is the renewal. You have Rosh Chodesh, you could change courses. You are on one path, you can now change to the other path. But Derech Shadam Reisa Leilech Malik, and I say Rosh Chodesh is also Chiddush, it's renewal. It's Melech, a person could take control of his life and be the king now, and it's also his Chachrish, it's also renewal. And when it's a time of renewal, then we have the ability to change course. We're about to embark on reading the parshias of the building of the Mishkan. Truma, Tetzave, Vayakel, Pekudei, four out of the five next parshias deal with the building of the Mishkan. And the Ramban, in great amazement, says, how is it possible that Bnei Yisrael, who for centuries were construction workers, they built buildings, they built pyramids, they were working with masonry work and nails and bricks and mortar, all of a sudden, how could they be able to find within them the ability to build a Mishkan? Yes, some of it was construction, some of it was with wood and planks, but a lot of it was with materials that they were unfamiliar with. Gold, silver, and copper, and hammering it out, and weaving, and making tapestries. How were they able to do that? Where did they find the strength? Where did they find the knowledge to be able to do that? And yet it says they came forward, the men and the women who wanted to volunteer to do it, they found the strength to do it. How did they do that, says the Ramban? And Ramban explains, because Asher Nadvar Libam, those that gave heart and they said, we want to do it. What happens when the person in his mind says, I want to be able to work on this project. I want to be able to help in building this Mishkan for Hashem. Hashem will give him the knowledge. Hashem will give him the wherewithal. Hashem will give him the ability. Could you imagine, you know, the handyman that comes around to your house, or the person who built your house, the construction worker? Usually they're very big, grubby. They have hands that are all banged up over years of work. Right, and that's what their fingers are sensitized to, and all of a sudden they have to do weaving work or sewing and find delicate work. How could they do that? The Ramban says because when they put their minds to do it, Hashem says, "You put your mind to do it, you have now angels assisting you." And the Chofetz Chaim says, based on this idea of the Ramban, it's not only by building of the Mishkan, it's anything. A person sets his mind; they want to learn a particular thing, or they want to take up a certain project, they want to do a certain mitzvah. When they put their mind to do it, that is the path that they will be able to take. And the malachim, who were created by that thought, indeed will assist the person in his endeavor. The Gemara talks about this. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us, "Kol ha'oseh mitzvah achas." If a person does one mitzvah, he's already started his path. He's charted out a course for himself. He's done a mitzvah already. Meitivin lo. They do good for him. And the Gemara says they give him a yom tav or a yom bish, a good day or a bad day. The way that's explained is if a person already has said, he says, "I want to be on this path," like we explained from that medrash, Hashem will create miracles, and Hashem will create all sorts of things and opportunities for the person to stay on that path. If a person says, the destination that I put into my computer, the program where I want to end up is to make sure to get a good portion in Olam Haba. And if a person indeed wants to do that sincerely, Hashem says, I will make sure to make that happen. I will give him yomim tevim, I will give him good days to make sure to fulfill that. Those that want to go on a different path, they will also be taken on a totally different path. Just quickly, because we have to wind down. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Avodah Zarah that Rava said to Rav Yehuda, Rava the son of Yehuda said to Rav Yehuda, he says that there's a particular place of idolatry. There's a house of idol worship that when rain is needed, when there's a drought and rain is needed, the people go there. The idol worshippers, the idolaters go to that place, they lay down, they go to sleep, and the idol comes to them in a dream and says, okay, bring a sacrifice, bring a human sacrifice to me. This is what the Gemara tells us. Bring a human sacrifice to me, and then I will let it rain. And that's what they do. They bring a human sacrifice, they kill a person, and indeed it starts to rain. And Rav Yehuda says, you don't understand. It's good you told me this, and now I'm able to tell you the reason behind it. Because there's a pasuk in Parshas Vaschanan. It tells us, Asher cholak Hashem elekecha isam l'chol ha'amim. Talking about the sun, the moon, and the stars. It says, Hashem, Asher cholak Hashem elekecha. One way of interpreting that, Hashem has put that aside as their portion. L'chol ha'amim, to all the nations of the world. The nations of the world who want to serve idols, Hashem says, this is your portion. Now, she'chalak also means to trip them up. Hashem says, I want to, if they don't want to have the path to Olam Haba, then I will indeed let miracles happen to them. I will allow these idols to bring them rain. For no other reason than because the idol said, this is what I want from you and I will give you rain. And Hashem says, this is what I will give them. Those who want to be matami themselves, to impure themselves, then Hashem opens many doors for them. But someone who wants to come to purify himself, someone who wants to be pure, someone who wants to do mitzvahs, they indeed help him. You've probably all heard of the Netziv, Reb Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Reshivin of Volozhin in the 1800s. He had a son, Reb Chaim Berlin. Reb Chaim Berlin, at one time his life, was the Rav of Moscow in Russia. And there was a time of terrible decrees against the Jews in that area, to the point where they started exiling the Jews, and they gave them a certain amount of time where they have to leave the city. And those who were not being productive for their purposes had to leave right away. And those who still had jobs for the city were able to stay. Reb Chaim Berlin, who was the Rav, says, I can't leave. He's the captain of the ship. He will not leave until the last Jew leaves town. So he remained there. It was Rosh Chodesh Elul. And they started looking for the Shofar. They knew in 1 month's time they're going to have to blow the Shofar. They have the mitzvah of Tekiyas Shofar, blowing the Shofar in Rosh Hashanah. And they looked for a Shofar, and they found one Shofar in the shul. The only problem was, it was cracked. And it invalidated the Shofar. And they were terribly, terribly distraught. What did they need for Rosh Hashanah? They need a Shofar. Lo and behold, came Rosh Hashanah time, there was no Shofar in all of the city. New, what do? You're an Inus. It's out of your control. Can't do anything about it. That's not what Reb Chaim Berlin said. He says, no, I don't have a shofar. I can't have the sound of the shofar, but the mitzvah of shofar, that I could do. He remained up the entire night of Rosh Hashanah learning all of the halachas of Tekiyah Shofar. He learned all the halachas of Tekiyah Shofar. He says, Hashem, this is my shofar to you. Can't blow a shofar, I don't have a physical shofar, but I've learned all the laws of shofar, and this should stand in good stead when we have the judgment the next day. He woke up early the next day, maybe slept for a couple hours, woke up early the next day for Vasikin, Tadam Vasikin. And he's walking on the street, comes to the street of the shul, and at the end of the street he sees there's a Russian peasant with a wagon full of all sorts of tchotchkalach, just laden with things. And he looks, it's a really bizarre sight, never saw this person in his life. And he looks, and all sorts of things hanging from this wagon, and he could not believe his eyes. He thought he was seeing a mirage. He sees hanging from one of the strings on the wagon a shofar. And he runs over and he says, is that a shofar? And the person got all flustered and he says, yes, yes, that's, I'm sorry, you could take it back, you could take it back. Take it back? What do you mean? He says, well, as you see, I collect all sorts of things, and my hobby is I collect instruments. And he had all sorts of horn instruments over there, and he says, this is an instrument that I never get my hands on. But when the Jews started leaving town, and they started exiting, and the shul was empty, I snuck in and I stole this, because I wanted it for my thing. But if you don't report me to the police, you can take it back. And he saw he was sincere, and this indeed was taken from the shul. And he went to shul that morning, and he was able to blow the shofar. Why? Because b'derech shadim reisa leilech b'ma lichinaisai. He did what he had to do. If all he could do was learn the hilchas tekiyah shofar, that's what he did. And Hashem says, that's the path you want to take? I will make it happen. I will make miracles happen. And indeed, that was what happened with Reb Chaim Berlin. All we have to do is set our mind to this is the path we want to take. We just read in the Parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, the famous two words of Na'aseh V'Nishma. I think if we want to really see, are we on the right path, we have to see, are we always conscious of those words, Na'aseh V'Nishma? And there's an idea that I saw recently, it's just an amazing idea, that's why I want to share it, of the words Na'aseh V'Nishma. Because we think, as the Gemara tells us, "B'shoshe Dimu Yisrael Naseh V'Lanishma," when they preceded the word, they said, "Naseh, we will do V'Nishma, and then we will hear. First, we will obey. Then, we will hear what has to be done." the angels from on high came down and placed two crowns on each Jew. And we think, well, but you know why that was so great? Because Hashem first offered the Torah to every nation. Do you want it? And they said, well, what does it say in it? First tells what it says. We can't accept it. And when he came to Bnei Israel, we said, we accept right away. And that was the greatness. But if you read the words of the Gemara, it's much, much deeper than that. It has to be much deeper than that. Why? Because listen what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Amr Balazar, B'shoshek dimu Yisrael Nasa Nishma. When the Jews said Nasa and the Nishma, Yotzitz Abaskov Amra, a voice came out from heaven and said, Mi gila levonai roz zeh shemalachi asharis mishtam shemboi. Who told this secret that only the angels know? It's the big secret. I mean, they didn't ask what it said. They said, we're ready to obey. We accept. You know, my parent tells me something. Okay, I listen right away. And then, what's the big deal? That was great. Okay, give them reward. But Hashem is like surprised. Who was able to tell them the secret on their own? They got the secret that only the angels know. Sounds like it's a big secret here. Nasa and Nishma. And the Gemara that we just quoted before, B'shosh Hakdimi Yisrael, Nasa and Nishma, Ba'ushishim Ribay Shamalachi Asher, 600,000 heavenly angels came and placed two crowns. Two crowns? They just said the Nasa before Nishma. One crown. Two crowns. We see it's much deeper. Nasa and Nishma, two statements, two words that have a much deeper meaning than just the fact that they said it first. This is what Nasa and Nishma means. What's the idea of a crown? It's a universal idea that kings, whether they're a king of a small third world country or they're the king of England, is an idea of a crown. And the crown represents what the ideas that kingdom stands for. Even nowadays we don't have a crown, but there's a presidential seal. There's something special, there's something significant about what this country and what the leader of this country stands for. The ideals that the people in this country stand for. That's what a crown is. If we say that the Malachim, the angels came and put crowns on Bnei Israel, that means they crowned them. You have the crown of humanity. When we... Bnei Yisrael came to Har Sinai, and when they said the words Nasa v'Nishma, they elevated themselves, Chazal tells us, the Gemara tells us, they elevated themselves to the level of Adam Rishayin before he even sinned. Adam wore the crown of humanity. And here we reached a level for at least a moment of time, because then after that we lost it and it was taken away, of wearing those crowns. Explains Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Zichrono Livracha, that's what a crown represents. The crown represents that you have the ideal of humanity, of Nasa and of Nishma. Nasa means to do. We live in an Olam Ha'asiyah. We live in the world of doing. How much time do we spend doing? We do a lot of things, certainly. We do a lot of things. But real doing, really looking honestly at ourselves, saying, are we really doing? Are we really accomplishing? Are we really, really productive? Are we premeditating our mitzvahs that we want to do and doing them and actualizing them? That's what Nasa means. A person who could say, yes, I'm doing this. I'm involved in this mitzvah, involved in this project, and I'm Nasa, I'm doing it. And I'm always conscious of that Nasa. And then Nishma explains, Nishma is, I have to hear myself, I have to hear my inner self. Am I really living up to the expectation that I am? Where am I compared to who I could be? Where am I compared to someone who I aspire to be like? A role model who I look at? Am I at that place where I am? That's the Nishma part of it. There's a Nasa and there's a Nishma. A person who lives with this in mind, the Nasa and Nishma, indeed, with Klal Yisrael, when they got to that point, they said Nasa and Nishma, they merited to have the two crowns come down on them. Rav Freifeld points out a beautiful idea. He says, if you ever see a tzaddik, people who see this is a real tzaddik, a real special person, you know what's unique about them? They're always in Nasa and Nishma mode. They're always doing things. They never just, oh, let me see, what should I do right now? I don't know, well, a little tired, maybe I'll lay down on the couch. I don't know, maybe I'll go out to the backyard, see. They're always doing things. They're always in a mode of Nasa. And they're always checking themselves. Am I expectation? Am I holding where Hashem wants me to be holding? They're always at Nishma. They're always listening. Nishma means listening. Nishma means accepting. Nishma means understanding. Am I at where am I supposed to be? This is, I think, a guide if a person wants to go on the path. The path a person wants to take, Hashem will make all sorts of things happen. This is the hanhag of Schar Vayin. Hashem says, you want to get on the path of mitzvahs, you want to be on that path, all you have to be is Ba Latahir. Ba Latahir Misayin Oisei. Someone who comes, he wants to be purified. He wants to do good, he wants to do mitzvahs, he wants to listen to Hashem. He wants to be in a mode of Nasa Nishma. Hashem says, Misayin Oisei, they will help him. They will assist him. Those malachim that are created, we may not see them physically, but we will feel them. We'll feel them happening. Just the other week, one of my daughters came home from some school, very distraught. Something had happened, it upset her. She was very upset about something. And I said, you know, I really want to help her out. Let me see, what could I do? What could I do? And I thought about it. What could I do? It was a premeditated mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, it was a chesed to try to help her out, to try to lift her spirits. And once I thought about it, I felt myself right away. Hashem put into my mind where to go, what to get, what to buy, the things to write, and it hit home. Why? Because when one thinks about a particular mitzvah, doing a certain chesed, doing the setting the path they want to go to, Hashem sends the malachim bo malichin oisei. All we have to do is bo latayr. We have to come and want to do good, and then Messiah oisei they help him. We always have to remember the Chazal, hakol bidei shemayim. Everything happens from heaven. Chutz miyir shemayim. Everything happens from heaven. We do nothing. Everything is done from Hashem. Every experience and every occurrence that has to happen to us for us to be successful, for us to even fulfill the mitzvahs, has to happen from Shemayim. And we sometimes, says Rav Dessler, we spend so much time into the what's really in heaven's hand, and we spend very little time in the Yerushamayim. All we have to do is Yerushamayim. How? What is that? Bo Latayr. We have to want to do that good. We have to set our minds to it. We have to be in a mode of Nasa and Nishma. Then, indeed, we'll be helped by Lichin those angels will come. That light that is created by the sincere thought of wanting to do a mitzvah will envelop the person and will assist the person in doing this mitzvah. For the person, all he has to know is that's the path he wants to take. The path he wants to take, he sets the destination, that's the path that those angels and Hashem will take him.